Welcome to this deep dive, and today we're tackling W.E.B. Du Bois.
Oh, an excellent choice.
Yeah, and his book, The Souls of Black Folk.
Really a seminal work.
For sure, and we're going to be focusing on the first four chapters
Okay.
to really get into, the heart of his argument about what it meant to be black in America.
Right at the turn of the 20th century.
Exactly. So right away, in those early pages, he hits us with this idea of the color line.
Yeah.
He even goes so far as to call it the problem of a 20th century.
Wow.
He writes, and I'm going to quote here,
Okay.
"The problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line."
He doesn't beat around the bush.
No, that's for
It's like
sure.
right there,
Yeah, it cuts right to it.
a central issue.
And he's talking about this division between black and white people as really the defining issue.
Yeah, and it's not just a social problem either,
Oh,
right?
absolutely not. It impacts everything.
Like
Politics, economics,
culture.
culture, even how individuals see themselves. And that's where I think this idea of double consciousness comes in.
Oh,
This
yeah.
feeling of kind of living in two worlds,
Yeah.
being both black and American,
Right.
but never fully belonging to either.
He describes it so powerfully, and it's worth quoting this one too because it's such a memorable phrase.
Yeah.
It's two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warring ideals in one dark body.
Wow.
Can you imagine that internal struggle, like constantly measuring yourself against a society that's viewing you through this lens of suspicion?
Just because of your skin color?
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever felt like an outsider? Like forced to see yourself through someone else's prejudice lens?
I mean, that's a pretty, I think, universal human
In
experience.
a way, yeah,
Even
absolutely.
if it's not about race,
Right.
it's just this feeling of having to conform to someone else's expectations just to be
Kind of
accepted.
fit in, yeah.
Du Bois takes it even further, though, with this metaphor of the veil,
Yeah.
this invisible barrier separating black and white Americans
Right.
and really distorting how they see each other.
It's like this lens that you can't take off, right? And
Exactly.
you're forced to look through it.
It impacts everything.
Everything.
But before we get too deep into that, I think it's important to remember the
Of
context.
course, yeah.
Du Bois isn't just, coming up with these ideas out of nowhere.
Right.
He's writing at a time when America is grappling with the legacy of slavery and then the hopes of emancipation.
There was this huge sense of hope after the Civil War
Right.
that freedom would finally lead to, equality and opportunity for Black Americans.
Yeah.
But Du Bois is very clear-eyed about the fact that that hope was quickly met with some really harsh realities.
It's like the end of slavery didn't just magically erase centuries of oppression,
Exactly.
and especially the South
Yeah.
wasn't exactly embracing this change with open arms.
No, and instead you see things like the rise of the Ku Klux Klan and all the broken promises of Reconstruction. These systems like sharecropping that really exploited black labor
It created these huge
to
barriers.
any kind of real freedom
Yeah.
or equality.
So black Americans are facing all these challenges trying to navigate this new world.
Right, they're trying to carve out a path forward.
And Du Bois explores the different paths that emerged, each with its own, strength and limitation.
And he talks about these three things: the ballot, the book, and the dollar,
Right.
like the pursuit of political power,
Education. But
education, economic advancement.
none of these paths were easy.
No, not at all.
I mean, black leaders, professionals, artists, they'd faced so much pressure.
Scrutiny.
Scrutiny,
Yeah.
and they were often caught between
Right.
the expectations of white society
Yeah.
and the needs of their own communities.
Absolutely. A real balancing act.
Take Booker T. Washington, for example.
Yeah.
He was urging black people to focus on practical skills, economic self-sufficiency.
Right, kind of like focus on what you can control.
Right.
Your work ethic, your skills.
But that meant pushing aside
Yeah.
this fight for civil rights and higher education.
Right.
And Du Bois saw that as.
Oh, he really disagreed with that. He
Yeah.
saw it as accepting a limited role in society,
Right.
like saying, okay, we'll just take what we can get.
He argued that true progress couldn't be achieved by sacrificing those essential rights.
Exactly. He championed this idea of work, culture, liberty, each growing and aiding each.
He saw all these things as interconnected,
Right.
education and the development of this talented
Yeah,
tent.
this leadership class of educated black
Yeah,
professionals.
as vital for challenging this inequality and uplifting the entire race.
But it's interesting, because Washington himself was born into slavery.
Right.
Did Du Bois have that same experience, like that same lived experience to draw on?
That's a really good point.
They both experienced the brutal realities of racism firsthand,
Yeah.
but they viewed the path to progress in very different ways.
Right.
And that really sparked this debate within the Black community,
right,
about how best to achieve equality,
yeah,
in a nation that was still so deeply divided.
A nation that's still grappling with this legacy,
absolutely,
of slavery and its aftermath.
Yeah.
And those tensions are something that Du Bois really explores
throughout his work.
Throughout his work. Yeah. And it's what makes his work so compelling.
Even today.
Even today.
Yeah. So let's dig deeper.
Let's dive deeper into Du Bois' exploration of those complexities.
Right.
And see how his ideas play out in the real world.
Sounds good. It's important to keep in mind, you know, the historical context here.
Yeah.
We're talking about a time when the wounds of slavery were still so fresh.
Right.
And, you know, the economic and social landscape was, yeah, just stacked against Black Americans.
So it wasn't just about starting from scratch after emancipation.
Right.
It was like starting from scratch with a system that was designed to keep them down.
Exactly. No land, no tools, no capital.
Yeah.
Facing intense competition.
Right.
In a system that was rigged against them.
Totally. And Du Bois, I think he really captures that when he calls it,
mm-hmm,
a poor race in a land of dollars.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to sum it up.
Right.
The struggle.
It's not just economics either.
No.
What about the social legacy of slavery?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not like those wounds just disappeared overnight.
No, and Du Bois doesn't shy away from confronting that,
mm-hmm,
you know, that painful truth about the sexual exploitation,
wow,
of Black women during slavery.
Yeah.
That created this red stain of bastardy.
It's a tough phrase.
Yeah, it's a tough phrase, but it really, really gets at how this impacted family structures.
Right.
Reinforced these horrible stereotypes.
Yeah, and this wasn't just about personal morality.
Right.
It's a calculated system.
Yeah, a system of control.
To dehumanize and break apart families and communities.
Absolutely.
It's hard to imagine,
yeah,
the weight of that history.
Mm-hmm.
The constant burden of prejudice.
The psychological toll.
Yeah.
It must have been immense.
And Du Bois, he calls like this vast despair,
mm-hmm,
hanging over Black people.
Right. And he makes this distinction,
okay,
between prejudice that's based on, you know, real differences in development and, mm-hmm, progress,
right,
which he acknowledges exists.
Okay.
But then there's this other kind of prejudice.
Okay.
This nameless prejudice, mm-hmm, that goes beyond that. That,
yeah,
fuels discrimination and disrespect simply because of skin color.
It's like this feeling of constantly being judged.
Mocked.
Mocked, dismissed.
Yeah, never seen as an individual.
Never seen as an individual. And Du Bois, he describes this so vividly.
Oh, yeah. He's a master of language.
I'm going to quote a long one here.
Okay.
The ridicule and systematic humiliation, the distortion of fact and wan license of fancy, the cynical ignoring of the better and the boisterous welcoming of the worse, the all-pervading desire to inculcate disdain for everything Black from Toussaint to the devil.
Wow.
It's like this prejudice just seeps into every corner of society.
Right. It shapes every interaction.
Yeah. And those words,
mm-hmm,
they're still so powerful.
They really are.
Even today.
It forces us to confront, you know,
yeah,
the ways that prejudice operates.
From those casual encounters to the ingrained systems and policies.
Every way.
Facing that kind of relentless negativity,
mm-hmm,
must have been so difficult.
Absolutely.
So did Du Bois see any hope?
Well, he recognized the immense psychological burden.
Yeah.
You know, how it could lead to self-doubt,
mm-hmm,
Howard aspirations.
Right.
He even talks about these dangerous whispers that started to circulate.
What kinds of whispers?
Things like, you know, lo, we are diseased and dying. We cannot write or voting is vain. What need of education since we must always cook and serve?
Like internalizing that oppression.
Exactly. And those were the seeds of despair,
yeah,
that threatened to extinguish any kind of Black ambition.
And just perpetuate that cycle.
Of inequality, yeah.
So it sounds like there were forces both outside,
mm-hmm,
and within the Black community.
Yes.
That were working against progress.
And that's where internalized racism and systemic oppression really become intertwined.
Right, because when society keeps telling you you're not good enough,
mm-hmm,
it becomes that much harder to fight for your rights.
Yeah, to demand equality.
But Du Bois, he refused to accept this fate.
Right, he saw the struggles, he acknowledged the setbacks,
yeah,
but he also saw this immense potential.
Okay.
And this burning desire for progress within Black communities.
And that's where I think his critique of Booker T. Washington's approach becomes so important.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't just an intellectual debate.
Right. It was about the future of Black America.
Exactly.
Du Bois believed that focusing solely on, you know, industrial education,
mm-hmm,
and economic advancement without fighting for full citizenship rights,
right,
would ultimately trap Black Americans in this permanent second-class status.
He wasn't willing to compromise on those rights.
No, he rejected this idea that they should just accept their lot,
mm-hmm,
and work within a system designed to limit their opportunities.
So for Du Bois, true progress required both self-improvement and demanding societal change.
He wasn't willing to compromise on either front.
And he argued that Black Americans needed access to higher education.
Yes.
The right to vote.
Absolutely.
Full protection under the law.
It wasn't just about material wealth for him.
Right.
It was about cultivating the souls of Black folk.
Yeah.
Fostering intellectual curiosity.
Right.
Artistic expression.
Mm-hmm.
A sense of shared history and purpose.
This vision of a future where Black people could contribute fully.
Yes.
To the intellectual.
Cultural.
The cultural, the political life of the nation. As equals.
As equals. That was his vision.
And that leads us to Duguay's personal journey, his experiences teaching in rural Tennessee.
Right. A real world example of how his ideas take shape.
So let's dive into that world.
Okay.
What was it like for Duguay's teaching in this rural environment?
Well, he doesn't sugarcoat the challenges.
Okay.
He describes arriving at this schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
a rundown former corn crib.
Wow.
Rough benches, broken windows,
okay.
a far cry from the resources available to white children, highlighting those spark inequalities
right.
in the education system.
So we're talking about, you know, a dilapidated schoolhouse, limited resources. It paints a pretty bleak picture.
It does, but that's where his writing really shines.
Okay.
He doesn't just, you know, tell us about the poverty and the challenges.
Right.
He introduces us to these individuals
yeah.
who are living these realities. Like we meet Josie,
okay.
this young girl with dreams of a better life,
yeah.
aspirations of attending school in Nashville.
Wow.
And then we get to know the Burks.
Okay.
This hardworking family striving to purchase the land they toil on.
Right.
We encounter the Dowells.
Okay.
Navigating the joys and sorrows of family life in this isolated world.
These aren't just statistics.
No.
These are real people.
With hopes and fears.
Right.
And aspirations.
Grappling with the limitations imposed by this color line.
Exactly.
That's amazing how he brings these individuals to life.
Right.
You know, makes their story feel so real and relatable.
He has this gift for capturing both the struggles and the resilience.
What about Josie?
Oh, yeah.
Did she ever make it to that school in Nashville?
He doesn't say explicitly,
okay.
but her story really represents this yearning for something more.
Yeah.
You know, this desire to break free from the confines of her circumstances.
Right.
And it speaks to the power of education and the hope that it represents.
For so many, and through these personal stories, he also challenges our understanding of progress.
Right.
You mentioned that new schoolhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this modern one that arrives on the scene.
Right.
Wasn't that a good thing?
On the surface, you would think so.
Yeah.
Better facilities, more resources. Okay. But Duguay describes it as ugly.
Really?
Yeah. And he puts progress in quotes.
Okay.
Like capital P progress.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us confront, you know, what's often lost in the name of advancement.
What does it mean to progress if it comes at the expense of human connection and cultural identity?
That's the question he's asked.
Right. And that's something we still grapple with.
All the time.
You know, this tension between moving forward and holding on to tradition.
It's not always an easy choice.
No, it's not a clear-cut thing.
Duguay reminds us that progress isn't always linear.
Right.
Or straightforward.
Yeah.
Sometimes it involves these difficult trade-offs.
Yeah.
And unintended consequences.
Right.
And he challenges us to really think critically about what constitutes progress.
Yeah, especially that it's imposed from the outside.
Exactly.
Rather than arising organically from within a community.
Right. It's about who gets to define progress.
And his teaching experience seems to highlight the resilience of these Black communities.
I agree.
Despite these overwhelming obstacles, they found ways to support each other.
Right.
Build families and strive for a better future.
You see that in the Burks.
Yeah.
Slowly expanding their land holdings. Mm. Josie working tirelessly.
Right.
Even sacrificing her own dream.
The Dowells raising their children.
Yeah. In this incredibly challenging environment.
Their stories are a testament to that strength and spirit.
Yeah.
It sounds like Duguay's work is more than just a historical account.
I think that's right.
It's like a meditation on the human spirit in the face of adversity.
The souls of Black folk, it's not just a history book or a sociological study.
Yeah.
It's a work of art.
He weaves together history, personal experience.
Poignant observation.
To create this powerful and enduring portrait.
Of Black life in America.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I keep coming back to Duguay's questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does the color line still exist in the 21st century? How have the challenges and triumphs of Black Americans evolved since his time?
Those are questions I think we should all be grappling with.
Yeah.
Dubois doesn't give us easy answers.
Right.
But he gives us a framework for understanding these complexities of race identity and progress in America.
Yeah, he encourages us to confront our own biases.
To listen to the stories of others.
And consider that full spectrum of human experience.
His work is a call to action.
Right.
You know, urging us to move beyond passive observation and become active participants.
In shaping a more just and equitable future.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into W.E.B. Dubois' The Souls of Black Folk. We encourage you to continue exploring his work and engaging with these important questions. If you find value in our show and want to support our mission of empowering local residents, you can donate at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate, link in show notes.